Begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basra, daf Kuf Gimel. Begin on the bottom of Kuf Beis Mabez, three lines up in the bottom of the Yamad, where the Gemara begins the Gemara related to the Mishnah that opened up our seventh parak of Masech the Baba Basra, parak Beis Kor, which spoke about this concept of someone sells his friend a Beis Kor, which is an area of 30 saw of earth, I'm selling you. So the halacha was that if there are clefts, if there are holes in the ground, or if there's rocks that are 10 tefachim high, which are their own distinct area, then they're not considered part of the Beis Kor offer because you can't go ahead and plow over there and plant over there. And therefore, that's not included in the sale. If it's less than that, then they will be included in the area of the Beis Kor offer that he's selling him. Now, relating to that halacha, the Gemara introduces Tznan Hasam. We learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Erechin a similar related halacha. There, the Mishnah is not talking about a sale, as our Mishnah was discussing, but rather, Hamakdish Sadeyu Beshasayev. Someone was Makdish, he takes a field, an ancestral field that he owns, and he's Makdish it to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, specifically at a time when the Yevil Halacha, which is every 50 years there was a Yevil, that applies, because if it's at a time when Yevil is not, like in today's times, then actually the Mishnah and Erechin teaches that if someone is Makdish, then he actually redeems it according to its actual value, as the Mishnah there teaches. If someone's Makdish at a time when there's no Yevil, so they tell him, you open up first, it goes according to the bidding about the value of the actual field. But what the Mishnah there is discussing is regarding someone that's Makdish Steachuza, which is his ancestral field that he inherited from his father going back to Yeshua ben Nun. It's at the beginning of the Yevil year, which is after the 50th year. They're starting a new Yevil cycle. Someone went and was Makdish his field. Says the Mishnah, Noisen Loi, so he gives to Hekdish if he wants to redeem it, Lebeis Zera, to regarding an area of land that's fit to plant, a chaymer sa'irim, a chaymer is another word for, the biblical word for kor, which is like the base kor that we're mentioning in our Mishnah, that he could plant a kor of barley, he redeems that amount of land in chamishim shekel kesef, for 50 silver shkalim, as the Pasuk teaches in Be'ikra Chav Zayin, that v'im esteach huzasi yakdash shalashem, if someone's going to makdash his steach huza, and the erich is lafi zara, according to the planting, which is zera chaymer sa'irim, which is the amount of planting that you can plant a chaymer, a kor of barley, which is, as we're describing, this halach of base kor. Now, however, continues the Mishnah, ha'yisham nekoyim amukim yutfachim, let's say, in that area of that could be planted, which is a base core, that could be planted a core of barley, there was a hole 10 tefachim deep. A slum givan yutvachim, or rocks that were 10 tefachim high. Oh, then continues the Mishnah over there, as we continue to talk about Gimel and Aleph, then einim dadnima. Then they're not evaluated with the rest of that base core to be redeemed according to this biblical calculation of a chaymer for 50 silver shkalim. Because the reason is, since there it's its own distinct area, it's 10 tefachim deep or 10 tefachim high, and moreover, as the Gemara will shortly explain, it's not considered what the Pasuk calls Sadei Zera, that a field that's able to be planted, because as the Gemara is going to explain, we're talking about that these Nekoyim, well, slum for sure you can't because they're rocky, but these holes in the ground are filled with water, so you can't plant it. Therefore, it's actually redeemed only according to their actual value, not according to this biblical Gzeis HaKasav of this value. Now, Teres Kayanim, in the Brises, they explain from Sukkim, where it's learned out from the Mishnah Sayyilvu Yakdash Tadeyu, what's that coming to teach? Is that, where do you know that if they were in the Koyim Al-Mukim, that they're not measured together with the rest of the field for the biblical redemption? That's what the Pasuk teaches, Tadeyu. Now, because as Rashbam explains, you cannot say that this halach of Einim Dadnimah that's not measured with it means to say that because these areas don't become Hektish at all. Because actually the Mishnah teaches, we had this on at the end of Shili, of Meiches Habayis, on Ayin Aleph and Aleph, that the Mishnah said clearly Hamakdish as Asad, if someone is Makdish the field, then he's Makdish everything, even the bar or the wine press, everything for sure, just holes in the ground or rocks are for sure included in the Hektish. What it just means to say is that it's not redeemed according to this biblical valuation of a base core for 50 silver shekel, but rather you redeem it according to its actual market value. Now, it says the Mishnah, Pachis Mekam, but if it's less than 10 tefachim deep or 10 tefachim high, then it does get measured with the rest of the base core offer, which this is also learned out in Teres Kainim from where it says, Vim Achra Yilva Yakta Shadeo. Again, it says, Shadeo, what's it coming to teach? So from where do you know that if there was Nikam that were deep less than 10 tefachim, or these rocks that were high but less than 10 tefachim, that they're measured with everything else? That's what the Pasuk teaches, Shadeo. So what Nimdad Nimam means to say over here is that it gets redeemed according to the calculation of a seller and the pundin according to the base core every year. I mean, for 50 years, it's 50 silver shekels. But it goes according to the year, is a sela and a pundin, which is a little bit more, according to the amount of the base core per year. That's what the Mishnah teaches over there. Now, the question on that Mishnah is, v'mai, but why is it when it's these clefts are deeper than 10 tefachim, or these rocks are higher than 10 tefachim, that they're not measured with the rest of the base core to be redeemed according to the biblical calculation of that amount of land, according to that amount of money, but at least likachu ba'anpi nafshayu, let at least be hektish on, in its own right. In other words, if you don't want to measure it together with the rest of the base core offer, because, yeah, you're considering it as its own distinct area, so it's like its own field, but the thing is, you could redeem each one on its own, like someone that's makdish two fields, that you go ahead and redeem each one without the other. So the Gemara's question is that, okay, fine, but at least over here, let that distinct area be hektish on its own, so when the person wants to redeem those clefts in the ground, it should be redeemed according to the calculation of a Beis Zera Chaymer Sa'irim for the 50 silver shkalim, just like any Ste'achuzah. So why does the Mishnah in Arachin teach that Einim Dodin, that it doesn't get measured with it, which it sounds like that it's not measured at all to be in the sanctification of the Aloch of a Ste'achuzah, to be redeemed according to the Beis Kur, but rather it sounds like that it's only going to be redeemed according to its actual market value, which is like a monetary sanctity. But why? Why doesn't it have a physical sanctity of a field to be redeemed according to that biblical evaluation? Why is it going according to market value? Although it's separate from the rest of the field, but let it be considered its own field. Now, so it continues the Gemara. V'chitem and if you're going to say, oh, kiven do have a base core, since these holes, They're not large, they're very small. They're not an area of a base kor, which is like 30 saw. Therefore, loikachi, therefore they're not sanctified in their own right to be like the halacha of a ste'achuzah, but rather to be redeemed according to their actual value, like a stei mikna, which that's when someone purchases a field. And then that purchased field, he's makdish, that's different than an ancestral field. With it, the halacha is, then it gets redeemed according to the value. Now, the reason that is because by Ste'achuzah, the words of the Pasuk are Zemach Zerach Chaymer Sa'irim. That it has to be that you could plant a kor in that area here that's much smaller than that. And therefore, you want to say that that's why it won't have the halacha of being redeemed according to that biblical valuation. That's the Gemara, but Vatan, we learn the Brice and Taurus Kainim, which talks about a Ste'achuzah, where the Pasuk says, Vimgol Yigol Es Asada Hamakdish, I say, if someone who sanctified his field wants to redeem it, says the Pasuk, so regarding this, Sadeh, it's talking about the field. Now, says the Braisa, Matam Alema, what's the word Sadeh coming to teach us over there? Why does it have to call it a field? Lefish and Emetz, because the Pasuk says, in Mayikra Zera Chaymer Sa'irim, as we quoted before, the Pasuk says that an area that could be planted, a kor of barley, B'chamishim Shekel Kesem, so that's redeemed for 50 silver shekel. So says the Braise, Ainli Elish Hektish bin Yazeh, I would only know if you sanctify it in this way, meaning only someone that's Makdash, a base car, that gets redeemed with this biblical case of 50 silver shkalim, meaning for every saw, every year, is for every car is going to be this selo punyan. But says the Braise, Minayin l'rabbis, how do you know to include even measurements that are less than that? Lesech, v'chatzi lesech, saw, Tarkiv, v'chatzi tarkiv. These are all consecutively smaller parcels of land. How do you know that these are also evaluated according to that those proportions, those that ratio of the biblical redemption? Tamalim is sadim mikamakim, says the Brai. So that's why you use the word sad, the field, in any type of field. It's not only zerachem esayim. It gets calculated according to however small it is. So you see that it doesn't have to be the size of a base core. So we're back to the question, then why are these holes in the ground, even though they're 10 tefachim deep, or these rocks 10 tefachim high, although they cannot be considered as part of the rest of the field, and therefore they're their own, but at least on their own let them be evaluated for the redemption. Why do they have to be redeemed according to the market value? On that, Amar Avukav Bar Chama, he says, Hacha ben koyim malei mayim maskinan. What we're talking about over here is that these holes in the ground are not just holes, so they're considered distinct from the rest of the field, they're filled with water. The lab b'nei zrin, in where they're not fit to be planted, because you can't plant in the water, and therefore you cannot call it what the Pasuk calls it, bezerah, which has to be something that could at least theoretically be planted, and here it cannot be. Therefore, that's what the Braisa says, the Mishnah says in Erechin, einim dadnim, it's not measured at all, but rather on their own, they're evaluated according to the market value, and that's how they're redeemed. Says the Gemara, Dekanami. Actually, precise reading of that Mishnah seems to indicate like we just answered. Because the Ketani, we learned what's the other case it talks about. In the depth, it talks about these Nekaim. Dumya Disloim. It also says the other case is similar to the rocks, which are 10 Tefachim high, which are also not considered part of the rest of the field. Shemama, no, what we see from that is, yes, just like rocks cannot be planted, so to these Nekaim cannot be planted. Why? Because it's filled with water, and that's why it's not redeemed even on its own, according to the Chaymer based to iron, but rather as its market value. Now, the Gemara asks, Ihachi, but if that's the case, that you're saying the reason why is because they cannot be planted because it's filled with water, then the Philippach is Mikanami, then why? Then even if it's less than 10 Tefachim deep or high, they also should not be measured together with the rest of the field. Why then is it this, if you say it's because it's considered a distinct area, so that we always find, like Mishnah, so Yachar and Shabbos has to be 10 Tefachim deep or high to be considered distinct. But if you're saying the reason is because it cannot be planted, then why does it have to be 10 Tefachim? Even less than that should not be considered part of the rest of the field to have the redemption of the base Chaymer Zairim for the Chamishim Shekel Kesef. Says the Gemara, no. That's different, because if it's not going to be its own distinct area of 10 Tefachim, then although, yes, it's filled with water or it's rocky, but hanu negoni da'ara mikro. That, those types of holes in the ground, are considered like just little indentations, cracks in the ground. In other words, then they don't have their own distinct name. Because since the primary field is appropriate for planting, so you call the entire field a beis zera, because these things are called like the cracks of the ground. They don't have their own designations. They're not considered, because they're not 10 tefachim deep, they're considered secondary to the land. And so too, regarding the rocks, shidri da'aramikru, they call the spine of the ground, that you can't have a piece of land that could be smooth, exactly like if you used a plane, which is an instrument to smooth things out, that you shouldn't have any cracks or any bumps. So that's the idea, where if it's less than 10 tefachim, then we consider it secondary to the land. But if it's 10 tefachim deep or high, where it's considered distinct, and you can't be planted, that's the reason why it's not going to have the halacha of being considered a beis zera, and therefore not redeemed according to the chaymer, beis zera, chaymer sa'im, but rather as according to its market value. Now, the Gemara now continues and relates it back to the halacha of our Mishnah from the previous daf. Ask the Gemara, Hacha, over here, regarding to the halacha of when someone's selling a base core of offer to his friend, and we said when there's these holes in the ground, there are 10 tefachim deep, which we also learned the same similar halacha of the Mishnah Arachin, that it's einim dadnimo, it doesn't get measured together to the base core offer, he has to give him another area, he can't count that towards that area. Ask the Gemara, Mai, do we say that in our Mishnah, the Nekoim also have to be filled with water, which as we said, because the other case of our Mishnah is also similar to the case of Sloim of rocks, which therefore it's not going to be considered part of the base core of offer. But if it would be fit to be planted, let's say if it wasn't filled with water, then it would be measured together, as we say regarding Hekdesh. Or maybe then, no, you can't compare sale to Hekdesh, because as we'll shortly see, that a person wouldn't want it even if it's not filled with water, and it would not be considered even if it's not with water. As the Gemara actually says, Amar Papa, he says, Afa Pisha Ein Malei Mayim. Now here it's more stringent than by Hekdesh. Here, even if it's not filled with water, it's not going to be considered part of the base core offer that he said he's going to sell it. My time, what's the reason? In Odom Reitza, Sheyitin Ma'isa, B'mokam Echad, a person doesn't want to invest his money in one place. V'yiru lo kishnayim v'shleish mekamis, and that it should appear to him like two and three different places. In other words, the seller and the buyer both know that the intention of the person who's spending money is that he wants to have it in one area. And therefore, it was incumbent upon the seller to reveal, to tell him that he's selling him what he's paying for in two different places. And since he didn't say, so the consumer doesn't have to take it. Meaning when we say like a two or three different places, is like you view these holes or higher areas like two different fields, because it's a lot of effort to go ahead and plow and plant and reap in two different fields more than if it's in one large field. And here, since it's considered distinct areas, even if it's not filled with water, it would still not be considered part of the sale of the base core offer on the Yemei Chalach. Now, Maskev L'Ravina, Ravina would have asked on this interpretation of Rav Papa, but similar to like we had said in the Mishnah in Arachin, which is why we had originally asked this question, but v'dumi d'sloim k'tani, the other case in our Mishnah, besides the Nekoim being 10 tefachim deep, is the case of the rocks being 10 tefachim high. So Maslom de la b'nei Zriyin Ninus, shouldn't you say, as we had said, the same comparison in the Mishnah Erechin, that just like the case of the rocks you cannot plant, afhani namela de la b'nei Zriyin Ninus, so to over here by the case of the holes in the ground, must also be told by a case that you cannot plant, meaning which is only filled with water. But if it wouldn't be filled with water, then it actually would be included, which is not like the way you're saying, even if it's not filled with water, that it's not included in part of the sale. So that answers Rav Papa that no, kika tani dumi disloim, when did we learn the case in the koim to be similar to the case of the rocks? That is actually apoches mikan. That's actually going on the case of when it's less than 10 tefachim. In other words, we mentioned the similarity only because of the case of the seifa. Meaning, because the Mishnah then continues and says, but if let's say these holes or these rocks are less than 10 tefachim from the ground, then the Mishnah says nimdad nima, then they are measured with it. So that's why the Reisha already mentioned the two cases of the holes and the rocks regarding the fact that, yes, just like Slom, that it's not able to be planted, but it wasn't coming to tell you regarding the Halacha, the Reisha. Halacha Reisha would be even if it could be planted. It was just coming to tell you, because regarding the Halacha of the Sefer, when it's less than 10 Tefachim, that even though you cannot plant it, because it's filled with water, even though it's, let's say, only 5 Tefachim deep, because it's similar to the case of the rocks, which cannot be planted, still, even though it cannot be planted, you're going to measure with it, as we said, because that's just considered secondary to the land itself. But the ratio that said the case of Nekoim, although it's similar to the case of the slime, same thing actually would be, even if it would not be similar to the case of the rocks, meaning if it was not filled with water, you would not measure it with the rest, because again, we consider it as its own distinct area, and the person doesn't want investing in one land and having it like 2 or 3 different lands. Now Rashbam addresses and he says, although regarding the Mishnah in Arachin, regarding the Halacha of Hekdesh, where we did say that, oh, Dekanami seems to be precise that we had answered that the case in the Kum is filled with water because it's Dumi Disloim, says Rashbam, that's okay. That does make sense because it is Dumi Disloim. Because the same thing actually applies regarding our Mishnah regarding a sale, where we have to say that the ratio which talked about in the Kum when they are 10 Tefachim deep is similar to slime, we had to say, meaning which means to say that it cannot be planted, it's just that we push ourselves to answer and to say, but really the halacha would apply even if it could be planted. The only reason why we say that it's comparing it to that it cannot be planted similar to the case of slime is because of the case of the seifa, but the truth is that when you say nekoim, in the case of say a case of slime, it is dumi de slime. And that's why the Mishnah in Arachin is like we described it, only if it's filled with water. It's just that in our Mishnah, there, where the logic of Rapapa applies, where a person wouldn't want to invest in one place and have in 2 or 3 different places. So we say that the Dumi Dislam is going on the case of the Seifa, but yes, having the Koyim and Slam near each other does mean that it should be Dumi Dislam, as we said in the Mishnah in Arachim. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that we just mentioned. We said, Pachis Mikan, but if these holes or these rocks are elevated less than the 10 tefachim from the ground, then they are measured with the rest of the base core of the offer and sold to that person. Now, Amr Yitzchak, he qualifies this halacha and he says, Troshim Sha'amru, these little rocks that we spoke about in the Mishnah, meaning that we said if it's less than 10 tefachim high, that it's measured with the rest of the ground, and the same thing would apply to the halacha of Nekoyim that's filled with water, which we said is not fit to be planted. This that we're saying that if it's less than 10 tefachim difference from either lower or higher, that it's measured with the rest of the ground, and that comes to Reb Yitzchak to qualify, that's only if it's base arbas kavin. If it's a total area of 4 kavin, between all the rocks or all these holes in the ground that's filled with water, when you combine it in the whole entire area of the base core, which the same ratio would apply if, let's say, it's 2 kav and a half a core, which is essentially this 2.2% of the land, if it has these rocks or these water-filled holes, then that's going to be part of the land and measure with it. But if the sum total is more than 4 kavin, then the lekeach will not accept such a land because he said that he's going to sell him a base core of offer, and more than that amount of 4 kavin, that a person's not meichel. So even if it's not 10 tefachim deep or 10 tefachim high, but if it's not usable and it's more than 2.2%, 1/45th of the land, then he won't accept it. Now, in this halacha, there's a machlokes. Amar Rav Ukiva Bar Chama says, "Behushim Avloin," and this is if the 4 kavin are spread out, b'chameshes kavin, in an entire area of 5 kavin, where, and for sure he's saying if it would be spread out even more, let's say in 6 or 7 kavin, that then this 4 kavin would be batel. But if it's not spread out, only in, let's say, an area of 4.5 kavin, then you would consider these four kavan as if it's gathered together, and then they would not be bottle, and then they would not be measured, as Rabbi Yitzchak said, together with the rest of the land. Because then you would view it as one wide rock of four kavan, which that's definitely not considered secondary to the land. Now, as Rashbam says, it's specifically four kavan. But if it's less than four kavan, since it's not 10 tefachim high, then even if it's one rock, then it actually would be measured with the rest of the land. So that's Rav Ukiva bar Chama, that he says that this, if four kavan being considered secondary, if it's in at least five kavan, then it would be batal. Now Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yechanan, he disagrees. He says that no, even if it's scattered, this four kavan in the area of five, more than five kavan, it's going to be considered as if it's contiguous, meaning as if it's one, and it would be one huge rock, and then it wouldn't be considered counted together with the rest of the base core. Now, for sure, in five kavan that the first opinion has said, he holds is not going to be considered part of the base core of offer. Unless, v'hushim avlon berubish al sada, if it's scattered across the majority of this field of this base core, which is 30 saw, which the majority of that field is 16 saw, then you, if you have the four kavan, which four kavan is 16 quarters of a quarter of a kav, which comes out that the four kavan are scattered in majority of the field would be coming out to a calculation of a quarter of a kav for every saw, which is 1/24th of a saw, then that would be considered a secondary and batal and then nimdadnima with the rest of the field. But if it's more than a quarter of a kav per saw, then holds Rabbi Yechanan, and that would be considered as if it's gathered together, and then it wouldn't be batal, and then it wouldn't be counted and measured together with the rest of the field to be part of the base core of it that he's selling it. Now, in regards to this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan that we just mentioned, the second opinion, this machlokes that he said, that the dalek kavan has to be scattered, at least in the majority of the field, to be considered batal and then counted as part of the field. So on that, says Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, it's obvious to me that if it's spread out, the oldest four kavan, in the entirety of the majority of the base core equally, for example, if let's say you have a quarter of a kav per saw, which would mean that you have 16 quarter of a kavs, which is, that's a total of these four kavan that we're describing, in the 16 saw, that then it's going to be batal. But what his question is, if let's say you have ruban, let's say you have a majority of these four kavan, which the majority of that would be 9 quarters. As we said, there's 16 quarters. If you take a majority of those four kavan, which are 9 quarter kavan, and you have that bimi'uta, in the minority, meaning it's spread out into the minority of the majority of the field, which that would be 7 saw. We said that the majority of the 30 saw, which is the base core of the field, the majority of that is 16. In that majority, which it has to be spread out, if let's say the majority of the four kavan is in the minority of that 16 kavan, which let's say that would, which of those 16 saw, which let's say that would be 7 saw. And then umi'utan, then the minority, meaning the rest of that four kavan, which are only 7 quarter kavs, would be spread out beruba in the majority of the majority of the field, which, since we said 7 of it was the minority, so that 9 sa'in, which are, in other words, if you're going to have 7 quarter kavs, which is the minority of the 4 kav, in the majority of the field, which are the 9 sa', ma, what would the halacha be in that case? In other words, do we say that since the majority of the 4 kavan are gathered together, because they're not scattered enough, because you're having 9 quarter kavan in only 7 saw. Now, according to the calculation of Rabbi Yechanan, you have to have a quarter kav for every saw. So it's as if all the 4 kavan are not spread out appropriately, and therefore it's not going to be measured together with the rest of the field. Or maybe that's his question, that since for the sum total of all the 4 kavan, the sum total is spread out in the majority of the field, which are these 16 quarter kavs in 16 saw, then it would be appropriate because Rabbi Yechanan was not particular, just that the entire 4 kavan should be spread out in the majority of the field, and he's not coming to exclude where that you have to have the entirety in the majority. It's just he's coming to exclude and you have all of it in the minority of the field, where then you have them very, very close together. But if let's say the majority of the 4 kavan were close together, but the minority was spread out very well, for example, in the case that we're describing where between all of them it takes up the majority of the field, then maybe that would be good and that would be considered part of the base core offer. That says the Gemara Tikkun, let it stand, it's not clear what would be in that case. What's the requirement? Does it have to be proportionally of each part of a quarter kav per sa, which that you don't have over here? Or no, that ultimately you have to have the dal kav and then the 16 sa, which ultimately you do have, and therefore it would be nimdad nima. So that Gemara says, let it stand. Now, continuing on this halacha of Rabbi Yechon and Boi Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Yirmiyahu asked the following question. As we continue to Medbeis, if let's say, as Rabbi Yechon required, it was spread out in the majority of the field, these rocks, but not in a square. Rather, and the reason for that is if it was, let's say, in a square, so then it would be easily plantable, that field, in the way they used to plant it and plow, which was Shasi Ve'erev, which is length and width crisscross. Because when you get to the rock, so you see it very clearly, and you lift up your plow a little bit until you get over the rock, and then you continue plowing. But what his question is kisher mahu, what's if, let's say, these rocks that are in the majority of the field are positioned like a bracelet, where then it's very difficult to plant in that type of field. As Arashbam has a picture which is difficult to translate, but meaning it's like a circle, what would the halacha be over there? Maybe over there we would say that it would not be considered batla, because it really gets in the way, and therefore it would not be measured together with the rest of the field. Now, that the Gemara continues and says, now, and if you're going to say that, no, here also it's measured, because ultimately it's a four kavan that's in the majority of the field, and therefore it's batal. What's Allah kishura mahu? What's Allah if all these four kavan of rocks, which are in the majority of the 16 sa of the field, are all together side by side like a row, where you cannot plow or plant in that part of the field? And the problem with that is that all plowing is crisscross, and you're going to hit this brick wall like this line, which again is a picture in Rashbam, which Mefarshim is saying is difficult to translate what that picture is, but definitely one of the rows would be a row where you have side by side these rocks, so therefore that would be challenging. But if push comes to shove, then you could plow. So therefore that's what the Gemara then continues and says, and if you're going to say even when the rocks are made like a row, like a line, that you measure it with the rest of the base core offer, but it's tadinin. But if, let's say, it was made like itztadinin, which is not so easily plowed and planted over there, like the case of the row, ma'u wavda locha be over there. In other words, if you have the majority of it in spread out in the entirety of the field, in the majority of the field, which this case of itztadin is like the horns of an ox, which as the Gemaras have that picture, we have like two horns side by side, which all these cases are, the further the cases are, the more challenging it is to plant them than the previous ones. So ma'ud ha'alocha be over here, would we say that no, here for sure it's not batal, it gets in the way, and therefore it would not be measured with the base core offer. Well, let's say derech akalosin ma'ud, what's the halacha if it's a crooked path of rocks, as the Gemara has this like a sideways mem or M or W, where it's zigzag, it's crisscross, it gets in the way. What would Allah be over there? Would you say that for sure gets in the way and would not be measured with it? Or would it be measured and would be part of the base core offer? Because ultimately it's only four kavan that spread out in the majority of the field. So as the Gemara take, let it stand, it's not clear what Allah be in those cases. Now the Gemara says, Tanya, we learned the Braisa, which this Braisa is coming to explain the previous Mishnah, which we had taught in that Mishnah, that if it's less than 10 tefachim, then it's going to be measured with the rest of the field. Now that, we learn in this Braisa that says, that im hayisela yichidi, if this was an individual rock, which was outside of the field, but right next to the field, and that the seller is coming to start the count of the base core offer from that rock, then says that Braisa, the nafila, even if that rock was kalshu, was just very small. In other words, if let's say that rock was less than 10 tefachim by far, and it was also narrower than 4 tefachim, even so, einim dedima, it's not going to be measured with the rest of the field, because it's not considered batal to the field, only when it's absorbed inside the area, it's the middle of the field. But when it's on the perimeter, on the peripheral of the field, then it's not batal to the field, and then we don't have to say, even if it's literally its own singular rock, but even actually if it's in the field itself, but if it's near the boundary, a filiculture, then even if it's very small, that rock, it's not going to be measured with the rest of the base offer. Rather, only when it's like inside, scattered inside the middle of the field, that's when we said, okay, it could be considered the spine of the field, and therefore bottle to the field and measure with it. But if it's on the outside, we don't compute it part of it, even if it's less than 10 fachim, and you can't count it for the base offer. Now, however, Bayi Rapapa, Rapapa asked on this halacha is, Mufsik Ofer. Let's say there's a little bit of earth that separates Bein Tayim between the rock and the border. For example, even if it's, let's say, less than 3 tfachim between that small rock and the boundary, Mahu Oda Halacha Bi. Do we consider that, like the Brisa said, that it's near the boundary and therefore you don't count it? Or not, because there is some earth that's separating and therefore it would be measured together with the rest of the field. Now, on that says the Gemara, take or let it stand. Now, by Ravashi continues the questioning and he says, even if you're going to say that if there is a little bit of earth that separates between this small rock and the boundary, that it would be considered that it's interposition and therefore it would be considered part of the field. But the question is, if let's say there is a hefsig of offer milmata, you have earth lower down, but you have hard rock that is higher up, that's near the boundary. Or let's say the other way, when you have offer milmala, let's say you have earth on the top, but it's not 3 tfachim high, this earth, which would be the requirement of how deep the plowing has to be, because if it was, then of course that would be considered as if it's earth of the field, and therefore the rock would be considered part of the field. So, but it's not 3 tfachim deep, and it's not 3 tfachim wide. You have some earth on the top, but below that earth, you have hard bedrock over there. What would the halacha be in those situations? In other words, do we go based on the earth, and since there's earth there, whether on the top or on the bottom, that's between that rock and the boundary, and therefore we consider it as if it's part of the field, and we would measure that rock as part of the base korafer? Or maybe do we say that the tsunma, the hard rock, is the primary one, and therefore there's no earth here between, and therefore it's all part of the boundary, and therefore we would not measure it? That's the Gemara's question. It says the Gemara, take or let it stand, it's not clear where the halacha be in that situation. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which described this case of base kor offer on the Meichelach. If someone says, I'm going to sell you this area that of a kor of 30 saw that could be planted over there, that's how much I'm selling you. But in this Mishnah, it adds on, he also says, mid bechevel, that I'm going to sell you measuring by rope. In other words, exactly, I'm going to sell you a field that has a base core of offer, like some of them measures by rope, which is not less and not more, exactly that amount. So if he says those words, says the Mishnah, if piches kol shehu, if let's say he gives a little bit less, in other words, that it didn't end up being that field had a full base core, then you knock it. Then the seller has to diminish according to how much less he gave from how much the sale price was, because he didn't give exactly a 30 saw. And then the sale is valid. Now, Rashbam says, although that Rabbah said previously in Perek HaMeches HaSfinan, Daf Tzadim et Aleph, that anything that's measured or weighed or counted, then even if it's less than a sixth, even if less than a halacha of fraud, that the sale is undone, which is obvious from that sugi that's considered Mekach Tois and the sale is not valid. So why over here are we saying that he just diminishes the price, but the sale is valid? And this says Rashbam, that's only by movable items. But by karka, like we're describing, there the halacha of that the whole sale is undone does not apply. And the reason is because the Rabbanon held that the consumer prefers to buy whatever he could according to that proportion of the measurement that they agreed on, whether more or less. And that's exactly really what the seller was telling him. When he said that I'm going to sell you a base core of offer according to an exacting measurement, like if it was measured with rope, was that meaning because if I will diminish, that I will take away from the sale price. And if I will give a little bit more, that then you'll give me back that value. Now, and although that the halach is that there's no oinah by karkais, there's no fraud, so therefore maybe you should not have to compensate him anything, that's only when someone sells something more than the price by a sixth. But where he fools the other person with the measurements, where here he promised a certain amount and he didn't give that measurement, then that is considered fraud even by karka. And in this case, we said that therefore he has to diminish from the sale price that he sold them. Now, continues the Mishnah, let's say heiser kol shehu, let's say actually he gave him more than the base core by a little bit, then yafzer, then the consumer has to give back to the seller, which shortly we're going to explain that it's actually whatever the seller wants, that's what the consumer has to give him back, either the land or the monetary value of it. Now, continues the Mishnah, let's say Vim Amar, let's say the seller tells to the consumer at the time of the sale that, yeah, I'm going to sell you a base core of offer for this amount of money, hein chaser, hein yeser, whether a little bit less or a little bit more. In other words, and he didn't tell him, I'm selling it to you, mid bechevel, exactly according to the measurement of the rope. Because as Rashbam says, because actually if he tells him both, if he, let's say he tells him, I'm going to sell you base core of offer, mid bechevel, hein chasa, hein yeser, it's actually machlokes later on daf kofdal kofhei, which is between Benanis and Rabbanon, what the halacha would be in that situation. But here we're talking about where he didn't say this, the first term of the ratio of mid bechevel, rather he says a little bit more or a little bit less. I mean, it's not going to be exactly base core offer. Then says the Mishnah, then afila piches roiva. Then even if he's a little bit less than the 30 saw by a quarter of a kav, le saw per every saw, in other words, what comes out to be that if there's a difference of 30 quarter kavs for a base core, which is a sum total of 7.5 kavin for the base core, a heiser roiva le saw, or if let's say he ends up giving a little bit more of a purport, of a ratio of a quarter kav per every saw, then he gear, then it's going to be a valid sale, because whichever party that is, whether the seller or the buyer, with that small amount, then they would be meichel. Because since he told them base car, and he said whether a little bit more, a little bit less, so that little bit more, a little bit less, is a little bit more of the base car, which is for this 7.5 kavan. But more than that, then not, because if that would be the case, then why do you say base core? It means to say that that amount, and such a larger difference, would be something that they wouldn't be meichel on. Now the Gemara actually asks regarding a case when he tells him just unspecified that I'm selling you a base core of offer, and he doesn't say the specific words of mida bechavel, but neither does he say the more open words of hein chasa and yes. So what would the halacha be in that case? The Gemara addresses that because we're really saying two extremes, and I want to be exact and I don't want to be exact. What if he doesn't say anything? That the Gemara addresses that. Moreover, this that the Mishnah is describing this halacha of even if it's less than, meaning even though he diminished by a quarter of a kav per saw, why doesn't it say the sum total? We're talking about base core offer, which are 30 saw. Why doesn't it say even if he's diminishing by 7.5 kavin per car, it's coming to say an extra chiddush. That even if it was a small sale of just a base saw on the Marech Halach, not like our Mishnah was talking about 30 saw of a base car. Rather, he's telling you, I'm going to sell you a base saw. And he says, hein chasa, hein yeser, and there's a difference of a quarter of a kav or more or a quarter of a kav. That's what the Mishnah is describing, that would be a valid sale, because although there is a machlokes amarim de Gemara regarding when it's not just one car, like our Mishnah is describing, but when he's selling him two car, where there is an opinion that holds that if there is a reva of a kav for every saw, that which would come out for a sum total of more than 9 kavan, then there wouldn't be mechila, because that's already too much large of an area, even though it has the same ratio. But when it's less of a sale, then everyone agrees, as Rashbam is saying, that's why the Mishnah says in those words, that the mechila is going to go according to the proportion of a quarter of a kav for every saw, even if it's just a sale of a base saw, just of one saw. Now, continues the Mishnah, now, yaisu mikan, but if let's say there is the discrepancy is more than a quarter of a kav for every saw. So if there is that excess, then yaz, meaning if let's say he gave him more than that, not less, but if he gives him more than a quarter of a kav per saw, then yaz a cheshbon. Then now you already have to calculate anything that's more than the base kav, even the quarter kavs, which originally were meichel, now that it's more, even more than a quarter of a kav, as the conclusion later on the Mishnah is, everything is going to have to be go ahead and calculated how much excess was there more than the base core, and how much is that worth according to the calculation of how much the base core is being sold for. And moreover, as Rashbam points out, we would be talking about specifically where the price of the land did not go down. Because actually, if the price of land went down already, then we would not be able to, as we'll see in the Mishnah, to force the lekeach to purchase it according to the more current expensive price. And also, if let's say it went up in price, so then he could claim that I don't want to purchase it for such an expensive price, as the Gemara will explain this element. But what our Mishnah is describing is the case. If the price stayed the same, then the lekeach has to give the seller according to whatever he wants. Meaning, if the seller wants that the consumer should have to give him back the money, then he has to give him back the money. Because this whole halacha is a takanas chachamim. Because what should the seller do with that little amount of land that he sold, which was in excess of the quarter of a kav per saw of this base cord that we're selling him, which is not considered a distinct sadi in its own right. So therefore, that's the takanas chacham that we forced lekeach to take. If the consumer, if the seller doesn't want to take it back, then he has to force him that he has to give him back the money and he has to keep that extra land. Because that's essentially what's called zenen v'zeh in the chaser, which the buyer is gaining. He got more land, and the seller, and meaning that the seller is gaining where he gets that sale, and the buyer is not losing. Or, but let's say if the buyer wants that the consumer should give him back the land as it is, then he has to give him back that land. Because the basic halacha really is that the consumer should give back the land to the seller, because the consumer didn't want to buy more than the base court. But so why did they say that the consumer has to give back to the seller the money of the excess? That's not according to the basic halacha. That's the takan chacham, to make the strength of the meicher better, that he shouldn't lose out from that little bit amount of land, which is he has nothing to use with that land. So the buyer is buying land. Okay, you have to take a little bit more. But again, if the seller wants the land, then you got to give him back the land. If he doesn't, then the takan chacham is that he has to give him back the money. Now, as Rashbam points out, this terminology of the Mishnah, when it's the discrepancy is more than a quarter kapper saw, then you make a cheshbon, is going on the case of when the seller had given him more than a quarter of a kapper saw of the base core. But if, let's say, it was talking about that he didn't give him a base core offer, and not only was there a discrepancy of a quarter kav, it was actually more than a quarter kav of less per saw that he gave him, then it wouldn't be appropriate to use the terminology of the Mishnah of Yasa Cheshbon to make a calculation. Rather, the wording would be Yenakolim and Adam, that he would have to then diminish whatever is more than that from the value that he had not given him, because since there's nothing more over here in the field, then we don't require the seller to go ahead and give him from another field. Rather, then the halach would be that he has to then clear from the amount that he owes him anything that's more than that's less than that base saw that he was selling him. Now, continues the Mishnah, as we had already described this a little bit. So, maho machzuloi. So, okay, if it's more than he gave him, not only more than the base core offer, but the seller gave him more than a quarter kav per saw for the base core. So then we said he has to give it back to the seller. So, maho machzuloi. What does he give him back? Says the Mishnah, mois. He has to give him back the money, which, as we described, that's a takanas chacham. Now, vim ratza. But if the seller wants, then machzuloi karka, then they can make him give him back the land itself. Because v'lama amr machzuloi mois, why did we say that this consumer has to give him back the money? Which, as we said, really halachically, why should I have to hold on to this? I didn't buy that. I only bought a base kor. That was liyapis koicha shel meicher. That was to benefit the strength of the seller. So, in other words, this that we obligate the lekeach to give money from the excess to the seller, that was only a benefit that we had made for the seller, because, as we said, there's nothing for him to do that with that little bit extra of land, that if he's going to have to take it back, he's not going to have anything to do with it, because it's not their measurements of a field. Because if, let's say, she'im shayir basada, because if, let's say, he had left over more in that base core of a kav and a half, more than the 7.5 kavan that we were describing, which for the sum total then would be base tisha kavan. If, let's say, he gave him more than the base core by an amount of 9 kavan, then the buyer would be able to give him back the land and would not have to give him back money. Because now the seller has utility with that land. Because that's what we always say, as we said this in the first paragraph of Yod Aleph and Aleph, that a sada is considered a sada if it has at least an area of 9 kavan. As the Mishnah there teaches that you can't, one partner cannot force the other partner to split a field until each one's going to get 9 kavan per each, because then it's considered a distinct field. So too, the Mishnah there said that they can't force the other one to split a garden until each one's going to get a half a kav, which, according to Rabbi Kiva, as we'll shortly see the same idea, is if it's a quarter of a kav. Now, Moreover, Rashbam points out that what we see from our Mishnah here is that when you have 7.5 kavan per kor, that, both for the seller and the buyer, that they're meichel. When it's more than that, until 9 kavan, but not actually 9 kavan, then we said that, okay, then you make a cheshbon. When it's 9 kavan already, then it's its own distinct field, then the buyer could just give back the land and does not have to give him back the money, because the takanas chacham does not apply, because then the seller doesn't lose, because now he has a field, an area of a field back. Now, continues the Mishnah, ubegina, and regarding a garden, which for there a quarter of a saw is, a quarter of a kav per saw is mechila, just like a quarter of a kav per saw in the field, but more than a quarter of a kav, then you make a cheshbon. But then the Mishnah says, but if it's 2 quarter kavs, which is a base chatzi kav, which is a half a kav, since that's considered an area of a garden, so then we say that, as the Mishnah is going to conclude, that then the consumer could just give back the land, because the seller has now a distinct area to take back the land. Now, Kedivri Bekiva, now, according to the opinion of Bekiva, which is brought in the first parak, that he holds base raiva, that an area of a quarter of a kav, not like the Tanakhama holds of a half a kav, he holds that because actually a half of a quarter of a kav for a half a saw, according to Rabbi Kiva, that would be mechila, just like by a field. Now, more than a half of a quarter, you're going to make a cheshbon, But an area of a quarter of a kav, so he holds it the same proportions, but just the thing is, once it's already an area of a quarter of a kav, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's already considered a garden. So then the halacha is, as in all the previous cases, mavzalei sakarka, then the consumer could give back the land, because it's not saying that what it was the meicher can do with it. What do you mean? You have a distinct area of a garden or of a field. Now, concludes the Mishnah and says, v'loy zareve b'lvado mavz. In these cases, when we said that if it's more than a quarter of a kav, either in what was given more or less, then the whole thing has to be given back, then there's no mechila at all. It's not only the quarter of the kav itself, ela eskola maisa, but rather everything that is additional. Now, the Gemara will ask on this and say, what do you mean? If anything, the wording should be the exact opposite, and it answers and explains you right. It should be read, v'loy zareve b'lvado mavz, and not only what's in excess of the quarter of a kav, that he has to give it back. We're, in the case of, let's say, when we say that you make a cheshbin, or in the case of where we say you have to give back the land, but rather all the 30 quarter kavs of the base core, which are in excess, even that he has to give back. Because although usually we say, what, that amount you're meichel, but once it's already considered a distinct tract of land in its own right, so then the seller is not meichel at all, and then he has to give him back everything that's beyond the base core, not only what's beyond the quarter kav per saw of beyond that, but then he has to give him back everything because it's already considered a distinct area. That's how you have to read this last line of the Mishnah.